Greetings. I'm John Butler, Investment Director at South Bank Investment Research, and I'm joined for this edition of Week in Review with my colleague James Allen. James is our in-house energy expert, and therefore he's precisely the right person to have a discussion about a very important development in UK energy policy earlier this week. Energy Secretary Claire Codino announced that the government will authorize the construction of a handful of new gas power generation plants. She had to justify that new plan by explaining that the government absolutely steadfastly stands by its ambitious net zero targets and goals. However, she did qualify that statement by admitting very clearly, and I quote, "We will need some tried and tested capacity until renewables kick in." That is, renewables have not been delivering as fast and as effectively as the government previously anticipated. She also said very clearly that the UK would, however, use this gas capacity and the flexibility it provides to absolutely stay on course for an eventual transition to a net zero power grid. So, James, I'd very much like to hear your thoughts on this, what it means for UK energy policy generally, what it means for the gas sector, what it means for the renewable sector, and how investors should be thinking about this.
Yeah, thanks, John. Thanks for having me on today. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to read Claire Coutinho's comments. She's quite alarmist rhetoric about gas and its relationship with renewables. It's just the latest, really, a sign from the governments that they're trying to water down green policies. We know what they've done with a delay in the ban of petrol and diesel cars and boilers as well. So it wasn't a big surprise to see what they're now doing for gas plants. They've been skeptical, shall we say, on renewables. You could say it's a pragmatic approach, really. I think there have been obviously a move against sort of renewables, and there's still concerns about the intermittency. Batteries haven't quite come up to the plate thus far to solve the intermittency dilemma. There's lots of exciting opportunity happening in that space, but I think it's fair to say right now, from an energy security perspective, that right now batteries can't solve that fluctuations in supply. So on one hand, it's quite a pragmatic approach. It's disappointing in another way, because up until the last sort of two or three years, I think the government said a lot of the right things in terms of clean energy, but I think they're just taking a pragmatic approach. Now, obviously, these plants aren't going to get built for a long time, and the markets can change. So I still think there's opportunity, good opportunity in the renewables market, but certainly for those investors in the gas markets, it's certainly a positive sign.
Well, positive for some, perhaps, less positive for others. There was also, in the article I quoted from, there were some quotes from some energy experts, some energy economists, regarding what exactly this will mean for the typical UK household. And one of these economists made the point that if we're going to continue to develop the renewables power generation, but augment it with additional gas power generation to solve the intermittency problem you just mentioned, the all-in cost of electricity is going to go up even further rather than down. Now, fine, that might benefit the energy firms, and that might benefit investors in the energy firms. And yes, you know, as an investor, one has to take that into account. But I mean, how is the typical household going to feel about this? I mean, is it going to be popular?
No, probably not. I mean, obviously, we had a big surge in retail energy prices a couple of years ago. They have started to unwind a little bit now. But, you know, really, we've had a confused energy policy from from the government for the last few years, which hasn't really helped. I know, are they going forward with renewables, or are they going back towards fossil fuels? And I think this sort of all of the above, let's try a bit of this and a bit of that, a bit confused, a bit unsure what to do, sort of hasn't helped sort of clarity. There is talk now that we could see gas prices rise. So this could obviously be filtered through into retail costs as well. So it's a very confused picture at the moment, certainly from the retail perspective. I think there's opportunities from the investment side, as you say, but where energy prices go from here is sort of anyone's guess. I mean, at least we're not as high as we were a year or two ago, but we're not out of the woods just yet, I'd say.
Well, I mean, some might go so far as to say we're actually in a way getting deeper into the woods. That is, every time the government says, well, gee, we still need some nuclear capacity, let's build that back out. We're going to need a bit more gas capacity now to deal with the intermittency problem. Let's build more of that out. But under no circumstances are we going to not double down on committing to net zero and ultimately a complete reliance on renewables of some kind. How long can you stay on the same road if you keep running into potholes, bumps, barriers, blind curves, whatever it might be? And it makes me wonder sometimes, right? I mean, Great Britain is a big island. It's got lots of coastline vis-a-vis its overall land area. It's in the North Atlantic. It's under the Gulf Stream. We're talking about what is arguably one of the best locations in the world for steady and reliable wind to power the wind generating part of the grid. If you can't make it work here, you may not be able to make wind work anywhere. And yet the government seems to think that wind is, because we're at such a high northern latitude also, that wind is top of the table when it comes to the potential eventual move towards net zero. I mean, I can't help but be skeptical. What gives you confidence that we're eventually going to get there?
Well, I think wind has had its own particular problems over the last couple of years. There's no denying that it's been a struggling sector, certainly against some other sectors in the clean tech space. It was really hit by sort of high inflation, high interest rates, supply chain issues as well. We've seen some pushback from certain governments against wind. Costs have sort of blown out. We've seen some companies pull back from investment projects as well. But some of these problems are actually starting to resolve themselves. We all know that sort of inflation is hopefully stabilizing or even coming down, interest rates likewise as well, as the supply chain issues that have been affecting the wind industry particularly, they're starting to sort themselves out. So I wouldn't be so pessimistic on the opportunity in wind, or certainly the opportunity of wind to solve some of the factors you've just been talking about. But there's no denying that there have been problems. I think obviously UK is a wonderful wind resource. And let's be honest, this is set in amongst wider European interconnector opportunity and investment. So it's not just wind. We're now pulling in sort of hydro from the Nordics area as well. Opportunity in the renewable space really is going to sort of blossom, once Europe becomes much sort of better interconnected as well. So, I certainly wouldn't be as pessimistic on the wind sector as you have been. But there's no denying it's been a tough old time for the sector.
Well, that brings me back to, it seems, where almost everything eventually comes back to, that if you want to have your energy cake and eat it too, ultimately, that is, to have your security, to have your flexibility, and to have your affordability, it really seems like the only way to do that in a low-carbon or carbon-neutral way is nuclear, right? You can talk about wind and solar and all day long, but they struggle to tick any of those boxes truly in an effective way, whereas nuclear ticks all of the above. So obviously I understand the reasoning behind using gas as a solution, temporary solution to the intermittency problem. But when it comes to the true future of reliable base power generation, is it even conceivable that the UK will not need to rely more heavily on nuclear in future?
I think on that we're in agreement. I think under really no scenario to reach any net zero situation that, you know, we obviously need nuclear. There's always going to be a place for nuclear. So I think it's been a mistake from certain governments around Europe to shut down their nuclear capacity. And I fully support any UK initiative and plans to stimulate the nuclear sector and build some nuclear projects. Obviously, there are sort of issues in terms of costs in the nuclear sector. We've seen big cost blowouts and lots of nuclear power plants. I mean, it'd be great if we can get some of these smaller modular reactors built to really as a sort of lower cost alternative to the big centralized nuclear generation capacity. Time will tell whether that's feasible or not. But I think certainly it will be a huge mistake to retire any more nuclear capacity in the UK and Europe. And we really need to go full steam ahead to try and get some more capacity online, really just to ensure we have a reliable section of the energy mix which can offer that reliable baseload power.
It's interesting that you mentioned the small modular reactor solution as an interesting one going forward. In of itself, a small reactor is not as efficient as a large reactor. And yet, if that small reactor is located right near major sources of industrial demand, actually, that can be a very good regional energy solution. And isn't it the case now that there is at least one community, I think it's up north around the Trent River or somewhere up that way, where local industries have actually got together and are putting together a plan to try and get their own local, affordable, reliable, modular nuclear solution up there. And that would be a fascinating innovation in the UK energy market, would it not?
Yeah, 100%. And there's lots of these initiatives popping up all over the world at a very early stage. We should remember that any small modular reactor design is just at the design stage right now. There's nothing really on a commercial scale in development at all. But we're really now seeing an opportunity now for industry to align themselves with smaller modular reactors. We're seeing in Amazon recently that they're building a sort of a big sort of data center, which is on the campus of a big nuclear project as well. So there's a big opportunity in data centers, in AI as well, which obviously has a huge electricity demand for it as well. So I think in the next sort of year or so, I think we're going to start hearing a lot more about small modular reactors and how they can be aligned with industry and big tech as well. So yeah, there's huge opportunity in that space. We've seen uranium prices actually tick up because of all this talk about small modular reactors and their partnerships with big tech and industry.
Well, it is a fascinating time, certainly, and it's great to hear that there is proper innovation taking place, because we clearly still have our energy challenges. If anything, they're getting bigger, not smaller, at least for the next few years, as a result of what were perhaps some poor policy decisions on the part of not only the UK, but other governments with respect to trying perhaps way too soon on way too thin a technological support base to move towards low or zero carbon energy grids. So it's definitely a land of opportunity. I say to investors whenever discussing the topic that energy is an absolute must invest sector. The only question is how best to play it. And of course, we have to hope that going forward, the government isn't going to mess it up even more than they already have. So James, thank you very much for joining us today for Week in Review, and I look forward to continuing these discussions in future.